The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Follow Justin's 90-day transformation from pudgy to ripped right here each week on Mind Pump. To get Justin's exact phased workout and diet plan, go to mindpumpradio.com and click the big yellow button at the top of the page.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey, welcome to Mind Pump.
Adam, stop giving him a hand jump.
Oh my god, dude. That's why we don't let you intro all the time, right?
Yeah. It's exhausting.
You gotta introduce us, dude.
I'm here with Adam Schaefer.
Woo woo.
That's right. Sal DiStefano.
Boom.
And Justin Andrews.
Yes. Q&A time. Let's do some more Q&A.
I love some Q&A.
We're gonna answer some questions today. Let's start with the first one here is from L. Steven. 123. That's L-E-L-S-T-E-V-N 123. Now his questions is this basically, and we're going to summarize it. But what does he do with stiff joints? Well, this is what you do with stiff joints. First of all, you got to stop rolling them so tight so that they're a little more flexible.
Right. You're gonna have a little bit of air.
No, he's talking about joints in your body. Bro.
Oh, all right.
Stupid dude.
My bad.
Because look at that.
Gotta let him breathe.
My bad. So because he said basically he talked to a trainer at the gym and the trainer told him to not lift heavy anymore.
What?
Oh, I hate that. Stupid.
You know what, dude?
What a doctor would say. Let's be honest.
It is totally exactly what. And
just,
let me,
oh, just stop. Can oh, I tell you're you guys, working out hard. Oh, just stop doing that.
Can I explain why a doctor or someone would say that in the first place? Because they're and just you can take this as I think it's disrespectful because it's automatically assuming that you have shit form.
Yeah.
You have, the right. reason why squatting is bad for your joints is because you have shit form. You have good form. It's yeah. amazing for your muscles yeah. and it's totally fine for your joints.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with the load.
Yeah.
The load. What happens with is risky. And if you have a heavy load and you have shitty form, then yeah, then your joints can hurt. Yeah. That's probably not why this guy's here. He probably trains a lot.
Done proper, you know, joint loading before and like addressed all the imbalances of your body.
Well,
sure.
Well, yeah, first off, don't do it. First off, does L. Steven foam roll?
Uh huh.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that is a great question.
That's a big one because if I don't do foam rolling, if I don't do myofascial release on my IT bands on a regular basis, I too will start to notice my knees not feel.
You're not going
to
get as much circulation. I mean, there's not going to be enough blood flow there to heal and repair.
Right, muscles won't be firing.
Like, yeah, there's no lubrication.
Well, so you know, in a nutshell, when you're foam rolling your IT band, and you can look this up, it's called the iliotibial band. It's this big fascia that runs along the side of your thigh. And as it goes down your leg, it kind of wraps around the front of your shin. If it's tight, which it probably is if you exercise a lot or if you run or if you do lots of activity with your legs,
tight, man.
What happens is it pulls the kneecap to the side a little bit and it causes it to track in a not so optimal way. Because every time you bend your kneecap has to track on this like little groove on your femur.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your IT band is tight and it's pulling the kneecap over to the side, then you're going to get some grinding. It's not going to be optimal. You're going to have some pain. So I can't tell you how many times I've had a client come in with knee pain. We do one foam rolling session, which obviously hurts like crazy, by the way, if you've never done it before. After they do it, it's like, oh, I have no more pain. One session.
Can I just say that over 90% of my clients over all the years that have came to me with bad backs, bad knees, you know, all
it's
these
like piriformis related or
yes,
IT
it's been muscle
or,
related. Yeah. Okay, someone comes to me and says I had surgery on this or whatever.
Yeah, that's different.
That is totally different. But someone who just says I have back pain or I have knee pain.
Like I'm just really stiff.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is over 90% it's muscle related and over time it just gets worse and worse is all it is. Is yeah, when you were 15, 20 you didn't notice you had knee pain, but 15 more years on top of that of not exercising properly or exercising at all, putting on excess weight your body doesn't need and carrying it wrong because nobody walks around in the anatomical position where everything's evenly balanced throughout all your muscles. So yeah, everybody is slightly putting stress on their bones and ligaments all day long.
This is why I keep stressing the point of like the warm up and like creating a ritual for yourself. So I mean, there's
got to be part of the routine.
You have to do it. Yeah. If you're not going to do it, you're going to complain about shit like this all the time.
Yeah.
And you're just gonna, I mean, because if you just go right to lifting heavy and think that you're gonna work your way through it, you're a fool.
Now, have you guys seen people foam roll incorrectly? Because I see people foam rolling, but they don't do it right.
They roll like they're rolling dough back and forth hella fast.
Yes, that's not how you foam roll.
You got to let it sit on there for a good at least 15, 20 seconds in that area and work that same area.
Yeah, so you roll down, you feel pain, you stop. You sit on it. You let your body sink into the foam roller.
Focus on your breathing. Real deep breath in through your nose. Get oxygen.
Wait till the pain dissipates a little bit, and then you move down a little more. Mm-hmm. You find another spot, and that's how you go all the way down. So a good foam rolling session should take you for both legs 15 minutes, maybe. So I've done as much as 20 minutes for both legs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll spend 20, 30 minutes. So on squat days, I have to. That's part of my routine. My routine, mm-hmm. There's a little cycling room over at the Gold's Gym that I go over there, grab my foam roll, get a mat, the music I like to listen to when I'm stretching, and then I'm just like, it's 20 minutes into my workout, and I tell you what, it is night and day difference when I do that, or if I try to get cold and go right into squatting and count like my just the bar or 45 pounds on each side as a warm up, trying to warm myself up like that.
Hell, because you can get away with it for a while when you don't foam roll and you keep at your routine and
when you're fucking 22. Yeah,
exactly. You can keep at it for a while, but guess what? That shit's catching up to you.
It will.
You know, and so if you don't establish that now, just know that that's going to happen.
And let's be clear here too. I don't want to. Most certainly, we are not picking on our boy right now. Like
no, this absolutely not. I'm not trying to say that at all.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think we're all very passionate. I tell you what, this was me.
Yeah, until exactly.
I used to teach foam rolling because I knew the importance of it. I knew what it
and
did.
You didn't
I
do was, it.
Yeah, and I didn't do it. I didn't do my first real foam rolling session until I was fucking 28. That's 8 years later after being a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. Real one. I taught it. Yeah, I knew exactly what to do. I knew what it did. I could teach the science of it to people and explain why they had problems and fix them. But I never thought I had a need to do it because I never felt bad knees, bad back. I didn't have any of that problems. And then all of a sudden, fucking when I get into my late 20s after, one of my bulks, all of a sudden I started noticing stuff and it just got worse and worse and worse. And then now it's to a point where it has to be addressed or else I can't function.
Well, so let's say he is foam rolling. Let's say he's doing all of that. Mm-hmm. What else could potentially be causing stiff joints? The first thing that pops into my head is a muscle imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing that pops into my head, right?
I also think too, overtraining a little bit.
I mean, that's I was going to say that's the second thing. So before we get into the overtraining aspect of it, because I think that's a little easier to remedy, right? Muscle imbalances are harder to remedy.
Yeah, so obviously if you're doing super heavy bench press and you have extremely weak triceps, there's a very good chance that your elbows are going to be stressed.
It could be. Yeah, absolutely.
That's one of your secondary muscles is going to help finish that exercise and your elbows taking the load versus
with the squat, sometimes you'll see someone squatting and you'll see that they're not getting very good hip activation.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the load is going on to their knees.
Yeah.
Right.
So for people like that, what I do is I have them do I'll have them do a few weeks of box squats where they sit way back on a box, they sit down and they come back up and it teaches those hips to fire, and then boom, lo and behold, no more knee pain.
Right. That's, it's utilizing your posterior chain. Like a lot of times, when most people that like feel joint pain and all that, they haven't really learned proper mechanics even of the squat yet. So mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. And we're all speculating here because anybody that asks us a question, we don't know in depth detail about you and like your specific makeup and what you do and your lifts and everything. But just to have somebody kind of look at your joints, and sometimes you'll notice yourself if you watch your knees what they're doing as you're going down into a squat, right? You might see them externally rotate. You might see them internally rotate. You know, you might see other things happening like your heels elevating. Okay, all these are signs of imbalance and things that you need to address. And there's specific ways to do that. And a trainer that's good is going to tell you
definitely
what to do.
And then you talk about overtraining, Adam.
So that's what comes to my mind first. Just because I want to assume that he's a Mind Pump listener, so he's probably a smarter guy.
Yeah,
you know?
He's probably good looking.
Yeah, he's probably good looking, smart, fit, I imagine. So
hot girlfriend.
Probably knows his way around the gym, and he wants advanced questions.
That's the typical listener.
Yeah, so that's what I'm assuming right now. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that it might be related to that, like, which would be something like me, where I experienced joint pain first, you know, and what was going on was I needed to pull back on my intensity. Now, those of you that already have our MAPS anabolic program know that, like, the way our phases work out, and when you first start off, it's designed that you're going to touch, like, your legs 3 times a week, mm-hmm. you know, or you touch a lot of muscle parts 3 times a week, and that's a lot of frequency for the average person. Most people do all these crazy splits.
Yeah, so I wonder if he's just doing heavy leg exercises more too frequently, right?
Yes, exactly.
All legs for that one day.
Exactly. Yeah. Too much, too hard, and you got to listen to the body. The body needs some more
dispersing the load to your whole body.
Because we all train like that. We're, you know, somewhat like that. We all have our different twists on how we utilize our phase, but we all train multiple body parts in a workout, and there's no like structure to it's 1 time a week or just 2 times a week. It really goes off of how we feel, and we also adjust the intensity level. So I might do, for example, on Saturday was heavy loaded squats for me. So I did heavy squats, did heavy lunges, heavy workout, real hard, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll hit legs again tomorrow. But when I hit it tomorrow, I'm going to work on like my flexibility. So I'll do like multi-planar lunges. I'll do a lot of high repetitions.
Yeah.
I may even throw some one plyometric exercise in there just to kind of confuse, but keep away from
establishing your function and movement patterns and all that. Properly.
And I'm not really concerned about pushing that much weight. And literally the intensity will be a lot less. So it's not just the rep range is changing. I'm also bringing down the intensity. I'm not going to kill it. I would kill it on Saturdays, drenched in sweat. I mean, my legs felt like they're going to explode, and I was walking duck walk when I walk out type of deal, where this workout tomorrow won't be like that. Tomorrow I'll touch things. I'll focus on specific things. Right now I'm trying to impress Sal and build my sweep. So I have specific movements
he's trying to get his legs to look better than mine.
Yeah. So my goal right now, those secretly
I'm
competitive as shit, and he threw it out there, and that's one of my weak points, but it's all good, you know, so I'm training right now to work on my sweep, because I have I have thick, really thick upper legs. That's where I think we measured. I think I already have him in inches on my legs, but he's got better looking legs than
me. You can't see me roll my eyes on the podcast.
He's got great legs. We know that. So that's but I have to be careful. I got to be careful, right? So like one day I'll do that.
He wears high heels. That's why.
But here's the thing, though, and that's what I think about this kid. I think that that's a possibility, and that's the first thing that comes to mind with me when you, especially if you're younger, if he's in his early 20s or even early 30s at that, and he's noticing
too much intensity.
Too often, and you need to either you got to be stretching those out and balancing it more, or taking it down a notch on like the how much volume you're doing with that per week.
Yeah. So that's it's a good range of options for you.
So I hope we help you, my friend. So try those things out. All right. So next question is coming from JD_Kubicki, KUBICKI. And this person's asking, what do we say to someone? Like, if you see someone in the gym with bad form or shitty form, are you an asshole for helping them?
Before I
say anything,
there's etiquette to this. I have my own etiquette.
There is. But before you do anything, look at them and then look at yourself. Are they more muscular than you? Now, that doesn't mean that they know more than you. But if they're more muscular,
gym etiquette.
Yeah, if they're more muscular than you, chances are they're not going to take any of your fucking advice. Yeah. So don't say shit.
Let them be. Let them dig their own grave.
Yeah, you're just going to annoy them. That's a very good point, actually. That's not part of mine, but that's here's my theory.
Because you're usually the most muscular guy in the.
Well, it's stupid.
Because you work out at Planet Fitness.
We both know I wouldn't last there, bro.
Oh, dude, lunks.
Throw it off
everywhere.
So I think that I rarely, and I know this is bad, I'm sure a bunch of trainers that are, especially if you're a new trainer right now and you're full of life, are probably you're not gonna like what I'm about to say right now, but I rarely ever am
you're jaded.
I rarely ever go up and interrupt someone's workout to tell them unless I do see somebody, like if I saw some old lady doing something really dangerous, I'm going to go over and say something to her. But if I see these kids that look like they're in college and they're doing stuff like that and they're working out, and like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy who comes over and kind of punks, and because that's how they're going to feel. They're going to feel like I'm punking them, or you know, maybe one. And I've done this, so it's not like I haven't done this. I've done this. I've helped everybody that I've seen. And in my early on in my career, I came across like more often than not, people are just like, dude, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hear it. Like, yeah, leave me alone. I don't care if I'm
people
not
are funny about that.
Yeah, people are.
They're funny about their little routines.
And you know what? And I feel like I offended more people than I ever helped. So now my attitude's like, you know, if you really want to know from me, you can come up and talk to me. You can ask me a question why I'm doing something or whatever, or watching my form. Or maybe that's all I kind of indiscreetly try and help you by doing the same exercise right next to you, but the, right, but the right way. But I'm not a big fan of, you know, because I also think too, so I used to tell, I had trainers for many years. I had lots of trainers that worked for me. And, you know, they were encouraged to go find people with bad form and go correct their form and sell
as
them
a clothes.
Yeah, yeah, right. That was part of our, you know, I used to teach this.
I believe, like, I did that.
Yes, yeah, so you did many times. Yeah. Of going out and finding people with bad form and then rip them off the floor and tell them how they're going to kill themselves. And then you sell
them.
Hey,
you
look
incompetent.
Yeah.
Here's my card.
Yeah, so Justin was very successful.
Hey, has anybody ever, this is a good one, has anybody ever come up to you guys and tried to correct you working out?
Yes.
Did that happen to you?
Oh, that actually just happened to Justin. That just happened to Justin.
Oh, it was so funny, too.
Oh, I had to put her in place.
It was a girl.
Where were you?
I was at...
He came to Orange Theory.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So you're working out.
You're right. And so I was... what was I doing? I was doing a press with the TRX, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And so here's what you have to understand. I worked on range of motion like forever. My range of motion is awesome in my shoulder, uh-huh, right? So I was getting real low and I'm twisting
full
my
deep,
arms
yeah,
full deep, you know. And this lovely lady comes up to me and she's just like kind of grabbing, you know, my core and trying to show me that I should keep everything solid and tight. And, you know, you only want to go this far. It was like 90 degrees. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah. I sure do.
You know what's so funny? I think I was more embarrassed than he was. I saw it happen. I'm like, oh my God. She didn't go correct my
boy. So I don't know, you took a class. You went and took a
one
class
one time,
there?
Yeah, when I first started.
Yeah, dude, I was trying to support my boy over here and, you know, check it out. And it was fun. Yeah. It was a fun little
thing. I was
thing.
So embarrassed. I remember I ripped my ass afterwards. I was like, did you understand? And so actually, this is a great point. This goes right back to
funny,
what
though.
I used to coach my trainers. Is here's what you don't know. So you, because whoever we're talking to, maybe you're recently certified personal trainer, or you just finished kinesiology, and you know a lot about biomechanics, and you've got all this stuff dialed in. But what you don't know, and you will learn if you don't know yet, is that there is so many contradicting things in fitness, and there's so many different. It's science. We're always evolving and changing. I mean, shit, it's weekly. I feel like something comes out nutritionally. I mean, for so many years, and here's an example. For so many years, I taught a squat where you had to have your feet a little bit wider, shoulder apart. Your toes need to be as straight as possible.
Yes.
You come down exactly to 90 degrees. You want your chest up.
If you deviated out of that at all,
it was bad for
exactly. Red
flags.
If you fell forward, if your chest came a little bit forward or your knees externally rotated, automatically it was like, oh, you got all these problems and these issues. You're not, you know what I'm saying? With what we're just now finding out, but what we've realized is that we're all different. We all have different bone
limb lengths. Yeah.
If your femur is 3 inches or 4 inches shorter than my femur and your hip sockets are completely different or tilted at an angle by 0.1 degree more
tiny
or less,
bits of asymmetry. Yeah,
all those things play a role in the way someone might do an exercise. So, you know, you'd have to be doing something really stupid and off the wall in front of me for me to think that, like, I can't see a reason why you might do that and you're going to really hurt yourself.
But there's a lot of times I see really stupid shit and I say nothing.
Oh, no. If they're not going to hurt themselves, I will sit back and normally I'll film it and share it with one of my
buddies. Well, I think that's what I was going to bring up. I'm like, yeah, I would just kind of like discreetly like make a little capture image of that or a video.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm in
we're assholes.
Be like,
at least we're honest though. Fuck off.
We'll only show it to our, you know, our buddies.
I posted mine on the public Facebook page. I, you know, when I'm working out, when I'm in the gym working out myself, I don't give a shit about anyone around me. So you could do, I don't care what, you could light yourself on fire. And unless I feel like the flames are going to come over and fuck up my deadlift, I'm gonna let you. I'm not gonna care. You want to be on fire? That's fine. I'm gonna be over here working.
But let's be honest. I think we're also the same guys. Yeah. So you could come up and ask us a question,
of course,
or help knowing who we are and what.
But
we
if
do
you don't ask me and you're just over there, you do your thing.
And
I'm here to work out.
For me, I refer to the gym for me as church. That's church for me, man. I'm in full meditation. Yeah. I'm in my big headphones.
I don't even like to talk to anybody.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't like to talk to anybody. I'm with you guys in the fact that like you could almost break your neck and I'm not gonna give a shit. But I would, you know, I would definitely, if it got to that point where somebody's doing something like, I'm going to step in and say something like, hey, Like,
yeah. I had to I gave someone CPR once, actually, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody in the gym. Well, I was about to give him CPR, and I got him already, and the ambulance
lucky
showed
dude,
up.
Huh?
Yeah, she was hot, bro.
Slip him the tongue.
Yeah, bro. Exactly. No. No, we'll help you, but yeah, I'm not talking
anymore. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. Like, I've seen somebody eat it on the treadmill.
Oh my god, I've seen
epic.
That so many times.
And, you know, I think too. Like, and let's
and
be honest,
I totally ran over to help the guy. You know, but it's just like
all three of us. I like to think have a pretty good skill set when it comes to approaching someone in situations like this, right? And it takes a very unique person to do it without offending somebody.
Yeah,
too.
So, if you see someone with bad form, you're probably better off not saying anything.
Because let me tell you, this is not how you start that conversation. Oh, excuse me, sir, do you want me to show you how to do that the right way?
No. Or,
do you know that you're doing that wrong? Like, what do you say? I mean, not a lot of people have the talent to walk up and actually find a way into that conversation to, if your desired outcome is truly to help somebody, right? If your true desired outcome is,
are you
I genuinely care about this person, I want to help them, then you really should care about how they feel and not embarrassing them too.
I would say draw the line at this. If you know for sure, like if you think that person's going to hurt themselves, say something. Otherwise, don't say anything, because it's like someone walking down the street with shitty outfit on. You're not going to go up to someone and be like, you know, let me show you a better way to dress. Like, you're going to let that person.
Exactly.
You're not going to, because they're going to get offended.
These are like life lessons that they need to learn for themselves.
If they look like they're really going to hurt themselves or hurt someone else or break the equipment or whatever, say something. Otherwise,
just. You know what you do, actually? I tell you what. You email us. You give us your address. We're going to email you a box of Mind Pump cards, and you just fucking hand them mine.
Hey, you might want to check this out.
Yeah, you might want to listen to these guys.
Perfect. So, Doug, how are we doing on time, Doug?
We're about 18 in.
Oh, good. We got one. We're going to do another question then.
Yeah.
This one's from a good friend of ours. He's actually been a follower of ours for a long time. And, he's
the endorphinaholic.
Endorphinaholic. He's my boy, actually. He's been following the program for a while. He posted some before and afters. He's been on the program longer than
He's like the only guy so far that I've noticed is like Team Mind Pump Justin. Like, he's there with me.
Yeah. No, his
thank you, buddy.
His transformation has been pretty amazing.
No, he's awesome.
Yeah. If you guys want to check him out on Instagram, it's endorphin, spelled endorphin aholic, aholic. Anyway, his question is, what is our opinion on chiropractors? What is our
This is a little sensitive.
Well, do you want me to go first? I can judge by the look on your face, you're about to go off.
I know, and I think that if I'm going to be a dick, you should probably save us and come back and say something really sweet.
All right, well, dick first.
Always dick first.
Well, here's why. Now, mind you, this is my own personal experience. And in my personal experience over my, 13, 15 years of being in the fitness industry, I've probably worked with between 20 and 30 different chiropractors over the course of my career. And
personally, or do you mean with clients?
Both. So either you, by working with, these are things that I interacted with you because you were part of, doing work inside my gym. Mm-hmm. You actually practiced inside my gym and then picked up leads and would come in and work on people and bring them. And most all these guys, part of that deal was when you remember this, was I'd work trade out and you'd have to work on me and I'd get a chance to talk to you and meet you. And 9 times out of 10, I remember every time when I remember the first one I went to, I was so excited because I thought, you know, this is a related field to me, but a different expertise. I can really learn some shit.
Yeah.
And like, I was really pumped to go like ask this guy like all these questions about like what's going on with my body. Cause here you get someone and I would think I would be like the wet dream for a chiropractor.
Yeah, you're muscular, he's bones.
Well, exactly. And I could tell you everything that's going on with me because I'm very in tune with my physique and I can speak to you in muscles and stuff like that. So I'm all excited to go talk to this guy. And I have lower cross syndrome pretty bad. So I have a pretty excessive anterior pelvic tilt. And I've always attributed that a lot to my squatting problems, why I used to have low back pain and la 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 la. But so I've always foam rolled and stretched all these different areas thinking that it should release it, help it. And I'm trying to, I'm always working on, and I could never put my finger on it. And so I remember getting to go see this chiropractor, and I remember talking to him and explaining this to him. And his answer was back to me that, you know, I'd have to refer back to my book and then get back to you. And I thought, oh shit, dude. I didn't even think that was a very complex question that I was asking. And I was really excited thinking that he would be able to have some sort of information for me and to have none. Now, that's just the my first, very first experience. What also led to me having the attitude of I'm not a big fan is because many more after that gave me the same letdown where I thought, and then, you know, they, and here's the thing with chiropractors, they're in the business of popping you back into place. And it feels amazing, right? And the reason why it feels amazing is because, I wish we could have video of me showing you guys do this, but if you can imagine what, you remember the skeleton when you were in, you know, biology class or whatever like that, your science class, the skeleton that the teacher always had, mm-hmm. you know, and it was in the anatomical position where their hand, their palms are out, they're erected straight up. That's what our bodies should be at, is in this anatomical.
That's like the optimal alignment and
yes,
posture.
Yes, the optimal alignment and posture to where everything is evenly balanced with the least amount of stress on your
length,
joints.
Length tension. Relationship is exactly. all perfect.
Exactly. All kind of so stuff. what they do is they and some of these guys now have the computers. Some of them use the old school using like graphing you and figuring this out. But they see all these imbalances, just like us trainers do. We look at you. We see all the way you move and your movement patterns. We can tell all the muscle imbalances that you have. He can tell the same thing. But what he does is he just pops you back into that neutral spinal alignment, and it feels so amazing after. But guess what? Didn't fix the muscles and the tightness
right.
and you have to have both. And
it
the imbalances from yes. that. And so what happens is
go right back out.
Those muscles being super tight go right back to pulling you back into that poor
they're
posture.
They're like rubber bands.
So 90% of the and I'm saying 90% because I can count two chiropractors that I've met that were legitimate that prescribe stretching with it, and that was part of the program, mm-hmm. and it was all about. Most of them are in the business of keeping you around, and it's fix you real quick, and then come back again. If they're not telling you what you if they're not either referring you to a trainer or telling you what you should be doing to fix those muscles in the gym and stretch them, and what you're supposed to be doing outside of seeing him, he's not a good chiropractor.
Well, check it out. So
boom,
so
I'm a dick.
You know, everybody knew that already.
Yeah.
I worked with a few chiropractors that I really, really respect. Now, here's the deal. And Adam's 100% correct. I agree with you 100% on this. If you're out of alignment and someone's adjusting you into alignment, but they're not helping you correct what's causing that out of alignment in the first place, this is when you get. This is when you see your chiropractor
multiple visits
twice a week for 10 years.
Elaborate, yeah,
yeah, and you never get really to the root problem. Now, the chiropractors I've worked with that I respect, you know, there's Dr. Fields, Dr. Renshaw is very good, Dr. Goodman. These are all guys around me that they will send clients to us or to me.
There you go,
and they'll say to me, Sal, I noticed. You know, there's this deviation in this particular area. I suspect these are the tight muscles and these are the weak muscles. And see, here's the thing. And I've run into this with other chiropractors. I cannot stand it when anybody in any profession pretends to be a professional or an expert in a different profession. Mm-hmm. I am not a chiropractor. I am not going to look at
exactly.
someone. And I'm not going to say, oh, I need to adjust your neck and let me do this and that. And I know how to crack your back because right. I'm not a fucking chiropractor.
Right.
But I've had chiropractors tell me, no, Sal, these are the weak muscles. These are the strong muscles. You need to do these exercises. And then they'll show me some like physical therapy,
bullshit.
Super small
bullshit.
Range of motion. And I'll look at it and I'll be like, no, that's not going to do much for if that's actually the
issue.
You
know what that reminds me of? What? Doctors giving fucking nutrition advice.
Yeah,
that's another one. If your doctor tells you what you're supposed to be eating, ask him where he has a nutrition degree, how much nutrition
basic,
how he went through his PhD.
Yeah, so when they're doing that, that gets on my nerves. Or this is something else I've run into with some chiropractors is that it is the cure for everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you get more adjustments, you won't
becomes
get the flu.
This huge holistic.
That's like the
God.
Acupuncture is like that too.
Oh
the
my
answer,
god,
the answer to everything.
They go crazy with it. Now that all being said, good effective chiropractic work, especially if you have pain, is for many people extremely effective. It's so effective that it's actually been approved to be covered by much of your medical insurance. They wouldn't approve it if there wasn't actual studies showing right. that it
works. There definitely is a place for this, and that's where, you know, my stance is on it.
Yeah. Now the repeated adjustments all the time doesn't work for some people. Doesn't work for me.
I don't see any benefit to that unless you had some serious trauma that they're trying to correct.
Well, it depends.
Spinally.
I think it depends how they do it, because I have clients that will go once every other week, for example, uh-huh. to a chiropractor. But the chiropractor's not doing an adjustment. every time. So one time might be an adjustment, but the next time might
ultrasound. Well, sometimes, yeah. What's that, a stem? It's like a...
The ultrasound thing, right?
No, it like actually like vibrates muscles.
Oh, it fires all the...
Stim. Yeah.
The electronic stim. Like, so that... You know, there's some methods in there too that they'll use for the muscles to alleviate some stress and release. But yeah, you have to have the combo of both. If they're going to ignore the fact that after the adjustment, you know, it's just going to go right back to where it was because you haven't addressed how the muscles got affected, then I'm definitely not a supporter. But there are chiropractors out there that do that, and they're very knowledgeable. They have a very intelligent about the anatomy of the body, and they go into great detail with that. However, yeah, there's definitely a good handful of
I've done it where I was doing a heavy lift and I felt a pop in like my mid thoracic, and the chiropractor said I popped a rib out. Uh-huh. It was so painful, like I could barely breathe.
Yeah, I popped a rib out too.
So I went to see him. He adjusted me instantly. Like a 70% reduction in pain.
Yeah.
I went back to, 2 days later, boom, pain is gone. And I've done that same injury before without going to chiropractor. It takes weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, from my own anecdote, I would say a good chiropractor is definitely worth their weight in gold. But if they say that they can cure your yeast infection with an adjustment, then you might need to go find someone else.
Well, I think it's very similar to...
Take that, Monistat.
I think there's a sound bite for you right there.
How did you even know?
What do you mean, how do you know?
I've been watching a lot of Lifetime.
Yeah, you've been running some... I know what you stopped and got besides just pizza the other day, I guess. That was part of the errand, too.
He is a little emotional lately.
So
I told you I was manstrating all day.
It's very similar to the personal training industry, the personal trainers. Let's be honest.
There's some shitty trainers out there.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
You know what? I would even go as far as to say that probably a majority of trainers are not that good.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm trying to be nice. Absolutely. I'd say a majority are not that good.
No, get them. Yeah. Because let's call them out. Like, we call everybody else out. Yeah. We got to call out shitty trainers.
There is probably...
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot.
90's a little high. Probably 80. Probably 80 and out of that 80%, at least 60% don't think they are. So only 20% probably know they're shitty. Like, I was a pretty shitty trainer my first couple of years of training. I've told you guys that. I've admitted that on here before.
If you're new, like, it's okay. Like, you'll get better. If you're really taking it seriously and you're getting education and you're thinking
and
this is a career.
Better.
Yeah, you want to get better?
You want to get better. That was a difference. I wanted to grow. I was always trying to learn. I was always leaning on people that were smarter.
You
got to
be a sponge. It's just like anything else, man.
So, yeah. But it's very similar in that you could easily get a shitty trainer, too. And there's some red flags. Maybe we'll do an episode one time that we just talk about the red flags to look for. How do you know you have a good trainer?
That's a good topic.
How do you know you have a good trainer or a bad trainer? And we'll you can go back and quiz your what dicks we are. What the fuck up everybody's business right now? No, it's for real though. And like Sal said, I know I started this off with kind of a rant about my experience. I just happened to be passionate with it because I think I was like a little kid. I was let down. I was so excited. I was like we said earlier, I like to learn. I like to lean on people that I can teach me something. And
I got to find a good one, man.
Yeah, and I didn't get that experience until later on. And I've met a couple guys that are pretty good, but it's those are the things you're looking for. If your chiropractor is not talking to you about the muscle imbalances or the corrective exercises and stretches that you should be working on doing, he's not a good
one. If he or she is just popping you every time you go
in. Just, it's about your adjustment and always about your adjustment and
probably not good.
What you need to do in there. And even the East End, that's great and all, but if they're not talking to you about the corrective work that needs to be done, like, and I mean the real stuff, like getting your guys' self stretched out and working on the muscles that are imbalanced and causing all these issues, then they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.